Hello and welcome back to Waldman. Every single time
we're starting with that. We're starting with that.
I always mess it up.
What do you mean welcome back? We didn't even start.
Something about, yeah, well, they were here last week. Something about Wednesdays.
That's a presumption that they were here last week. We don't know if they were here last week.
I'm going to assume that they are.
You know what happens when you assume?
No, what happens?
You make an ass out of Yuma.
Ugh. Anyway, this is Waldman's Words.
With Emily Burke.
Tuesday. This is episode 95.
You lied. It's not Tuesday. It's Wednesday, but we're going to be on Tuesday. And I just stammered.
We're confusing them is what is happening.
This is awesome for the Danger Kids. Tyler's laughing. Speaking Tyler's in the room. Tyler's in the
you
room.
You told me not to speak yet.
I did, and you did, and you laughed, and I didn't critique your laughing. I commented, and look, this interview is going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So we have Tyler Smith in the studio today, and usually we ask our guests not to talk during the intros,
yeah,
but you know what? Great. We'll make an exception.
Yeah, thanks, Tyler. Tyler, can you speak again?
I can't.
No, I asked you not to.
But you asked me to. I'm so confused.
This episode is brought to you by Dumb. But no, in all seriousness, I want to give a shout out to the fine state of Ohio.
I've never been there, but I believe
it. People call it the flyover state. But, and for the record, the people will never know this, but the sound came out of my headphones, but it's working on here. So that shows that persistence works.
Yeah. What's happening with these headphones today?
I honestly feel like I'm stoned and I'm completely sober.
It's been such a weird, it's like 10:58 actually. There's a clock.
See, again, inaccurate. It's not like 10:48. It is 10:55 a.m. But right now, when this is airing, it's approximately like 5:04 p.m. Pacific time. Can you please let the Danger Kids know exactly when this show airs?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he speaks again. He speaks again.
He's just being an active Precocious. Participant. You know,
Waldman's, this episode is going to be suck good.
This show is on every single Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time, and then we rerun on Sunday, 5 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. Eastern.
And just the thing about Eastern time is that Ohio is not the East Coast, but it's Eastern time. How do you like them apples? Who's on next week?
Next week we have Wabi Funkel.
Another producer.
Yeah.
So it's the production of producers 2 weeks in a row. And I just want to say that I had met Tyler before. But I would say again that, well, not again because I didn't say it, but we got acquainted in ways that you will never know. I got to take him to the top of a roof and we howled at the moon.
And now we're close friends.
Oh my God, dude. We're close friends who don't listen to each other's guidelines.
That's okay.
No, no. Oh, wow. Oh, it works in my headphones now.
Oh, wow.
What did you do, Tyler?
It's my voice is very
soothing,
warm. And, yeah, yeah. Just technology works around me. That's actually kind of true. My wife brings me in to touch electronics and have them start working.
Tyler almost just touched my phone, which is technically fucking gross.
I didn't, though.
Almost. Almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Okay, so seriously, this is definitely the most interactive a person has been that's on the show during the intro that he's not supposed to be on, but I love it. So this show is going to be fucking awesome. I want to give Tyler Smith, all the Danger Kids, and every single act that he has written, produced, engineered, mixed, mastered, yelled at, not yelled at, and most importantly, this is more important than all this BS, Tyler is a happily married man. I'm a happily married man. Emily, you're 21. Do not get married for a long time.
I am also a happily married man on the inside.
All right. On that note, stick around. Hello. Welcome to Waldman's Words with, most importantly, Scott Waldman.
Wow. He said that while looking at me, so I thought he was going to say something nice again.
Exactly.
But he's not that nice.
Okay, fine. Most importantly, Tyler Smith.
Hey, okay. That's I'll what I was waiting it. For.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, let me retract both statements and be 100% sincere. Most importantly, Emily Burke.
Thank you.
How do you like them apples?
I mean, now it's not as special.
See, she diminishes
diluted.
Compliments.
The respect is a little diluted.
Wow.
Being
the guest
choice.
Is critiquing the host and the assistant.
I got to stand up for my girl.
Thank you.
You got to stand up for what's right and you're wrong.
This is my favorite guest so far.
Hey. See,
I love that you refer to him as this. Is that how you identify?
That's fine.
That's fine. A word that my wife uses when it's not.
Oh, then that's fine.
Y'all can't see my eyes right now, but welcome to Waldman's Words with Tyler Smith. So Tyler and I have been hanging, and then this is a pet peeve. I'll just go with this. When bands are on tour, like, come hang with us. It's like, you don't want to hang with them. I wouldn't want to hang out with narcissistic sociopath, and the narcissistic sociopaths don't want to hang out with their fans. They want their merch money. Thoughts?
I do have thoughts, actually. I think that it's hard to generalize each band. I do think
Every single band ever is saying this, and every single fan ever.
I don't think that that's true at all. I think that most bands are very, very respectful. I know that you're making a point here, but I think it's worth mentioning. Like, that is your first inclination, especially as a fan, because you sort of
put the record on a pedestal. I'm fucking with.
Oh, I know you are. Okay, good. I know you are, but I do think it's a real thing that people actually believe going into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget.
Like, I love you for doing this.
Yeah.
By the way.
Well, think of the first like really cool band you met. Like, you met the person. Like, I remember
Edna's Goldfish.
Okay.
Ska punk band on Long Island.
How were they?
Some of them were nice. Yeah. Some means one or more.
Okay, well, you might have had a gray experience there where you had a little bit of good with a little bit of bad.
Honestly, I can tell you that as a kid growing up on Long Island, going to ska shows before the Long Island boom of like Glassjaw, The Movie Life, Brand New, Taking Back Sunday, all exploding, as soon as I left Long Island, it got cool. And as soon as I left Michigan.
So many good bands out of Long Island, dude.
Dude, it's at Billy Joel.
Where Saves the Day from?
Saves the Day is from Jersey. He's asking me where Saves the Day is from because I'm wearing a Saves the Day shirt.
Yeah, sorry. I forget. No one can see this.
Where's yellow Nike from?
Nike is from Portland. I don't know if that's actually where it's from. That's where it's located.
We can talk about that on a different show.
I rocked a Saves the Day hoodie for years growing up.
I rock a Saves the Day shirt today.
The funny thing is, I actually saw them live and was like, musically, they were awesome. You want to know what actually got to me? This is such a young kid thing. That the singer changed his guitar every song for about 30 songs in a row.
What year was this?
Oh, geez, dude. 2002? 2003?
So it was around the time when they were about to be as big as they ever were.
I mean, yeah.
Stay where you are.
Through Being Cool is still my favorite. Yeah. I won't claim to have my ear to the ground that much when I was that younger. But it was...
I just put my ear to the table.
Close to the ground.
Yeah. What?
Close enough to the ground.
Right.
Thank you, Emily, for your backup.
No problem. I chime in every once in a while. I'm still here, guys.
No, I definitely remember she's a danger driving kid. To school, jamming Saves the Day, and I'd never heard lyrics like that. And then I went and saw
I don't go to school anymore,
like,
and I jammed to it.
Stop changing your guitar, man. I want to hear the song.
Well, speaking
he
of
changing... He has a very large guitar collection. I'll give him that.
Well, speaking of changing, the thing about Saves the Day, and then we're going to actually go into you. Well, not literally into you, because that'd be fucking weird. But, like, Saves the Day, his voice sounds different on every album.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's cool.
I think it's cool, too.
Yeah, I don't even think it's intentional. I just think that's how he sounds when he starts singing, you know?
I can tell you that Through Being Cool is in my top five pop punk records of all time, mm-hmm. and they're all so young when they did it, and their musicianship, I'm a year younger than Chris Conley,
yeah.
and I like music a little bit and play music a little bit, but their musicianship on that record is bar none.
Don't you think, I mean, you as an artist yourself, there is always something intrinsically special about album one. Because
that's album two.
Well, a good point. I guess I should say early records. Like when
the spirit.
You don't have a real big fan base yet. You don't have an expectation. And so you're sort of just making what you make. And you don't know how far it's going to go. You don't know. Like, album one is big now, but I actually don't know because I was a later fan. How was album one?
I don't like
when
it.
When album two came out. I just feel like...
But their fans love it. I had this exact conversation with... It's funny, because off the air, I told you I manage Hunter Bergen from the band AFI, mm-hmm. and he's a few years older than I am, and we had this conversation about how album one can never be replicated. Whether you're signed to a major label, like Weezer's Blue Album came out, like mm-hmm. what a fucking debut album that is.
Oh, God.
Or whether you are self-releasing the Emily Burke Sad Girl acoustic project by yourself... It's impossible because the first time you have an album, like those songs might have been like 10 years in the making or more. And then album two, Sometimes some of the songs are older, like Guns N' Roses' November Rain was actually written long before it came out.
Yeah, but that makes so much sense, doesn't it?
It was too grandiose.
Even Fall Out Boy had said in interviews on their most recent album that a lot of the hooks or the choruses or chord progressions came from unreleased really early work. And there's just something really special about that early stuff when you're not trying to impress anyone. You're just like... You're so innocent with your motives.
I'm going to give you a counter argument. We don't know whether they're trying to impress people or not, but we do know.
I think that the goal is so much more innocent and smaller. Yeah, I mean, I can remember my first goals as a band. I wanted to be on an airplane because of my band. Even if I had to buy the ticket, I wanted to see California. That was a career goal of mine.
Have you ever seen California still?
I want to. I got married there, but I didn't get to see it. And I live there, but I still haven't seen it. No, I'm just kidding. Of course I've seen it.
No, I'm asking you seriously. Like, why Eyes Wide Open? Like, have you ever been to California?
I have.
This show is recorded in California. Thank you.
That's the bombshell, right.
Well, speaking of bombshells, let's go back to the early 50s when Tyler was born.
Right.
And Ohio. When I think of Ohio, I think of wholesome people.
Yes.
I think of backwards politics.
Yeah.
And yeah. I also think of Hawthorne Heights. Care to comment?
I think that's actually pretty accurate because you talked about...
Hashtag winning.
But really, you talked about the culture of the Midwest, and then the counterculture in a lot of ways is the music, right? And, I mean, Hawthorne Heights is still putting out music.
Yes, they are, and a really good record recently. I will show you my phone. It's called Bad Frequencies. My phone is on airplane mode.
Yeah.
I actually buy music because I manage artists. And,
bless your soul, me too.
Well, the thing is that if you don't buy it, you really should not complain about its downfall.
Yeah.
Bad Frequencies came out 2018.
Yeah.
And my favorite album of theirs is their second record, not their first.
Yeah. It's a good record.
Yep.
And every artist is different, by the way.
Like, no, every artist is the same. Generalizations are always true.
That's true. Actually, it's not. different artists are going to shine under different amounts of pressure. Some people make that first record awesome because there's, like I said, there's no expectation.
What's your favorite debut album?
Favorite debut?
Can't be something that of someone you know or something you're a part of.
The Starting Line. As far as impact on my life, I would say The Starting Line.
Off the record, I'll tell you some amazing things about that band because my band... The City Drive literally signed to We the People Records, which was part of Columbia, which is the reason why We the People had Columbia is because when they were kids, they discovered a band that became The Starting Line, got bought out by Drive Thru.
Yeah.
And The Starting Line's debut EP was great, but their, you know, Given the Chance is still my favorite Starting Line song.
That's
track
cool.
Track two.
No, that's great. That's great. That whole record, I think,
front
is,
to back.
Right.
Up and go, dude.
And, dude, Up and Go, track one, right?
Yep.
Sorry about that.
You never need to apologize for anything other than the bullshit you're spewing. The coffee and the coughing is all good. Emily Burke, care to comment? Because you actually go to school in Philly. Starting Line. I'm trying to help you here.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But with like...
They're from
PA. Is it from...
They're from the Philly suburbs.
Okay.
I feel like any pop punk band is either from like somewhere in PA
or Long Island
or Ohio. You know, you always hear
counter
about
arguments.
Like, Midwest.
Have you ever heard of Homegrown? They're an amazing.
You're going too far back.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Fine. Unwritten Law.
I'm just joking.
Stop
man.
Yelling at me, Tyler.
But I feel like especially Midwest has kind of become like
the hub.
Part of the culture of the whole like
the cold. Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's like flannels, pizza, skateboards, Midwest. It's like one of the
want to go
points.
Home.
Yeah.
Hating your friends, loving your friends, girlfriends snub you.
Yeah.
Boyfriends are dicks.
Like hanging out with my best friend.
Something magic happens when you're isolated like that, though, because you really don't have the energy.
You're a really good guest.
No, it's true.
I'm sorry. You're a really good guest because you're plagiarizing my fucking brain.
Thank you. No, but it warrants being mentioned that when you have nothing but time. You make your own fun.
Or as Tom DeLonge says, time.
Nothing but time. You make your own fun. And that is very true in Ohio. And I think that's why a lot of bands come out of, you know, anywhere in the Midwest. Even New York.
There's no scene in L.A. There hasn't been a scene in L.A.
It's
since the 80s.
It's not the same.
No. Yeah. I'm sorry. I have strong opinions. There is zero scene in L.A. There is zero community in L.A. There are some great people, i.e. Emily Burke is from here, i.e. my wife, Kelly Certain, is from here. Mm-hmm. But there has not been a scene in L.A. since the 80s with hair metal.
I think scenes require time, right?
And effort.
It has to grow and it has to start from something. And if you don't have a community, like you said, there's
it's but there's still really communities hard. That have it, like still sure. that have had it. Like Long Island still has it. Yes, yeah. It doesn't have. Like, it didn't start becoming, I guess, quote-unquote, relevant until the late 90s, early 2000s, but there's still a scene there.
Yeah.
There's a scene in New York City.
Ohio and Michigan, still.
Still.
Yeah.
I as I said before about Long Island, when I left it, it got cool, but I left Michigan, and then the White Stripes blew up, oh. and then Chiodos did well. And, yeah. like, so it's just, like, the key to a scene growing is for me to leave.
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe you're the secret thing that when you leave
the secret handshake.
That's when the that was a good band. That's when the scene emerges. You know.
So my goal is to leave.
Is to travel. Yeah.
When are you leaving LA?
You just became full time and you're gonna ask me that. That's a dick move. All right. So anyway,
do believe it for or the music. No, I'm just kidding.
Music is stupid. So it's 11:22, meaning not in terms of time. It's actually 11:12. That's fucked up. But we're almost done with segment one, so I actually want to talk about you and sure. what band or artist is what – this is not grammatically correct. Let's rewind. I have a BA in English. I don't mind.
That's funny. Me too.
What school?
Wright State. It's an Ohio school.
I've heard of it. Yeah, University of Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Nux. Pound. We're nuxing. You can't
– a fist bump.
That's the sound of the fist bump.
Actually, Tyler's hands are so strong I'm bleeding. I'm bleeding the dream, guys. I'm literally soaked in fucking blood.
See, that would usually work, except we started recording these episodes that's now. Right.
Why do you always fucking correct me? Like, I am soaked
in
blood.
I'm not correcting you. I'm just soaked being in blood truthful is, to the
name of our new side
project. I am soaked in blood. Our side talking. Project where we literally sit down and rant over spoken word music.
No, we just cover Saves
Ken, the Day. Why you call... God damn it. Like, everyone's correct. This is not Tyler or Emily's words. This is Waldman's words.
That's true. I will respect that.
No,
I won't.
Gotta respect the condom. All right, that's an Adam Sandler line. Anyway, you guys are too young to appreciate good things. So, anyway, speaking of good things, hashtag transition. And by the way, I learned this as an English major, how to read. So, I'm kidding. So, what band or artist catalyzed your love? Because I can tell you, for me, I've said this on record, Weird Al was mine.
Oh, cool.
And the Beatles are still my favorite band. And Emily, I believe, was a band called Green Day, this small-time... pop,
yeah,
rock,
of course.
Pop punk, yeah. Punk, rock and roll, not ska.
You might have trio. Never heard of them. They're kind of a small band.
They have a big hit called All the Small Things.
Some of the biggest shows I ever played, Green Day was headlining, and they were really fun.
They're so fun.
Whoa. Let's not even talk about you anymore. Green Day.
well, I mean, it's been a few years, but it was in Australia. We
Big Day Out?
No, it was the year before the last year of Soundwave.
I'm taking a picture of you now just so I can have that. Because, like, yeah. This is moments after you just told me that, you notice how I'm stammering? They're my second favorite live band ever.
Oh, they were great. They were amazing. And some of the big headliners actually didn't allow any of the side stage. Green Day didn't give a shit.
Because they're cool.
Yeah, they're punk rock. Yeah. They're genuinely still punk rock. And actually, there's a venue in Cleveland that closed about 2 years
the
ago.
The Agora?
No, not the Agora.
Peabody's?
Yes, Peabody's. So
I played there.
Yeah. The guy who books for Peabody's
has heroin needles? What?
No, he posted a scan of back when he booked all of his bands on paper, and he had Green Day come through for years, and it showed what day they were playing and what their guarantee was, and it was $150.
Oh
for
my
years,
God.
Green Day came
that's
through.
That's still their guarantee.
But that's the punk rock respect. You know, it's like... Some people say they lived it, but Green Day got in a van and did it. And
Green Day got amazing. In the van and had a major label booking bidding war. Sorry, I'm correcting this. Green Day makes me stammer because they're the fucking best, but they really did it. And you can say whatever you want about punk rock. You can say whatever about conform, non-conformity, but I'll just go on record and say that Green Day earned everything.
I agree. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
No, it is what you're getting at, and we a Green Day. So let's just see how much, because I just took a picture of you. We have 5 minutes, and then I'm going to make this really awesome that segment two is going to be Tyler's words.
Okay.
So what band was your Green Day, I'm pointing to Emily, or your Weird Al?
I
have a feeling
say,
it's Linkin Park, but I could be wrong.
No, I mean, a lot of bands affected me very deeply. Linkin Park is one of the... My more recent influences, Linkin Park definitely with Danger Kids, and as well as a band that I also name-checked in a song called Inner Party System that's no
They're
longer
They're fucking amazing. Don't stop.
Yeah. I have it tattooed on me.
Wait. Yeah. Dude, their self-titled record on Island, and then they went to it's perfect.
Unreal.
Yeah. I'm not. Fuck yeah! That's the first time. You need to listen to them right now.
I've never even heard of them.
They have an EP that I wish they didn't release, and they just released.
I actually like the EP.
I do.
It's not. I don't care if someone changes their sound. I don't care.
No, you should. You should be. I mean, not every band should. Like sometimes bands like Pennywise and Bad Religion get critiqued for having the same albums, and then sometimes bands, when they change their sound, no matter what, you're not going to please everyone.
Look, they weren't on Island anymore.
Right, they were on Red Bull.
Things change. Now they're not working with Justin Timberlake's producer anymore. They're not, like, everything's different. But if you saw them play American Trash live, you would be like, okay, this shit is awesome. Like, whatever I thought, I was wrong.
Do you know a band I thought that they were kind of like?
What's that?
I thought that they were like a poppy version of Nine Inch Nails.
Oh my God! Can we please Nux? Okay, I anyone listening who's had a conversation with me.
Yeah, fuck Tyler. No, listen. Fuck Emily and fuck Scott. Listen to Inner Party System.
Anyone who's had a conversation with me knows that I describe them literally as a poppy.
I've never had a description. This is not research. This is not. This is sincere.
No, you said you didn't my want eyes. To be inside of me, but you are right now.
The energy in
is
here?
Is that because my butt is in your butt?
That's a creepy, amazing thing. That's true.
I'm scared.
Point that out.
I'm scared.
Yeah, I feel like I'm witnessing.
Anyways, this band,
My Chemical Bromance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Emily, why haven't you heard of Inner Party System, and what's wrong with you?
It's forgivable. I know.
It's unforgivable.
No, I know.
You're really.
I don't know.
Do I have them on my phone? I'm going to see. I hope I do, because that'll drive the point. Inner Party System.
When was the height of Inner Party System?
I don't.
They. Oh,
I mean, like 2012. Like around then.
Okay, then I don't have an excuse.
No, you have an excuse because, whenever people, I was fucking with you before, but I'm not now.
I would say that when they did Project
Tyler, Lincoln, don't interrupt me when I'm talking to my assistant. So basically, the thing about this is, he's coughing, it's okay, you don't have to apologize for that, just apologize for interrupting. So no, the thing is that people are like, you haven't heard of that band? It's like, do you have any idea how many fucking bands there are and how many books there are and how many things? It's like, you just may have missed something. It's all good, dude. Thoughts, Tyler? I'm Googling Inner Party System.
I think in 2012 they did a couple dates on Project Revolution, and that's kind of when they were the
biggest. Linkin Park.
I think a large part of their downfall was being on a major and getting – there's too many hands-on because the thing that blew them up was a video for a song called Don't Stop. The first thing the label had them do.
They broke up in 2011, so I was wrong about the year.
So it must have been 2009.
Let's see. The download EP was 2007.
Yeah.
Never
around 2009 was like the height of my middle school scene.
And Neon.
What were you listening to?
I was like, okay, so I was such a poser in middle school, and like
2008, by the way.
Yeah.
Dude, fuck the word poser. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know what?
You're allowed
I did.
To be proud of your roots now.
You should always be proud of your roots. Guilty pleasures are for people who are stupid.
Honestly. But I. When
and
I
then,
was, like,
and then wrap
school.
This up, because we're going to make the Inner Party System show more about Tyler Smythe.
Oh, of course. But when I was in middle school, I literally just Googled, like, scene bands or, like, MySpace bands. And the first band that came up was The Maine. So I just started telling people that my favorite band is The Maine. And then I actually started listening to The Maine.
The Maine is awesome.
But, like, Broke Inside, if you remember them.
I toured with them.
No way.
You know Chris, owner of IANR for a label? He manages Broke Inside.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he's from Ohio.
I know Chris.
Yep.
Yeah, wow. Small world.
This, especially the music community. So moral of the story that I always say is don't be a dick because it's a small fucking world. Or not even because it's a small world, because like you don't want to be on your deathbed and be like, yo, I suck.
Or be a dick so that we know not to associate, right?
I think that's
let's honest. Keep it small, you know?
Well, let's keep a small dick. But basically the thing is that that's a really good way to wrap this up, and then I'm going to outline with a syllabus for the English majors in the room and for the really smart legal business, whatever the fuck major you are, because you're so cool and great, is that I appreciate your Inner Party System love. I appreciate your actual sincere connections. What adjective would you use to describe, Mr. English major, everything up to this point so far?
Fantastic.
I like that.
Yeah.
You?
Amazing, chaotic.
Hear her tone, the resting bitch boy. You hear the resting bitch boy's tone.
Interstellar is an interesting adjective.
Interesting is a word I use to describe an ugly painting. So I'm going to say the adjective that I think describes this, and it's fun.
Aww.
And the band Fun's cool. Stick around for segment two. All right, we are back with Tim Horton's words. Zing.
We were just talking about it. I didn't know that there are any U.S. stores to begin with.
U.S. American?
Yeah.
You guys, oh my God. Like the Miss Teen South Carolina. Like, and such as, and so on and so forth. U.S. Americans.
Well, you know, like Canada is North America.
It's my favorite state.
Yeah.
Mine too.
I'm going to stop before I say something dumb.
You
but
started both segments with such a... But for
it's
the
that
record,
kind of show.
You're the best co-host on the planet. You're the best assistant on the planet. And Tyler, you may not know this, but she started co-managing a band as of 2 weeks ago today.
Yeah. Congrats. That's awesome. Thank it's a lot you. Of work.
Oh, yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
But I love them.
You got
she's
it.
Amazing.
You got
she's
it.
She's amazing. So we've got... I'm looking at the stopwatch. Both of our phones are in airplane mode. Fist bump. We've got 19 minutes for you to honestly... Post inner party system to 2018. Tyler, the fuck out of this.
Okay.
I may interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
I'm going to interrupt you.
Go
Sorry.
Ahead. Yeah, no, I mean, would you like, what do you want me to talk about myself? Talk about.
I want you, everything, honestly. Sure. So I guess I'll ask you direct questions. So why do you love Emily Burke so much? No, the thing
that's
is.
A great question.
So inner party system, what got you into composing?
That's a great thing. Interparty System was one of the first bands that, I don't know a better way to say this, made my skin crawl a little bit. In
Crawling
a very cool way.
Through my skin. No, that's my favorite Interparty System song.
Oh, me too. Yeah, they are great. Especially Mike Shinoder.
Mike Shinoder's big hit.
I have nothing but love and respect for Mike and that whole band.
My first concert with my wife was Linkin Park at the Wiltern.
Wow, yeah. I remember walking by the Wiltern when I was in a band that was signed to Fearless Records, and we were recording in
Shout
LA.
Out to Johnny Rago.
We were recording in L.A. Our hotel was right next to the Wiltern. I used to walk by it every day, and I would go, I wonder if I'm ever going to play there. And I remember seeing Paramore up on the thing. And
I saw Paramore at the
played,
Wiltern.
I played the Wiltern at the beginning of last year.
You did?
Yeah.
When? Like who? With whom?
With Danger Kids.
No, what bands?
Oh, we were on tour with Falling in Reverse, Motionless, and White Issues.
Okay. I mean, what's crazy is I saw Issue. Oh, Dead. That's Chris yeah. Bianchi's band.
Yeah.
He manages them. Shout out to Chris and Legend. But
I co-produced that album with Ronnie.
I knew that.
Yeah, okay.
That's awesome. And yeah. that album sounds small great. World. They just said, dude, this world is so fucking stupid small. But the Wiltern, I can tell you this because I'm a musician as well. I've never played there. And I can also tell you this, that I literally purchased tickets to see Jimmy Eat World there for $60, like as a fan, yeah. which is expensive for a Wiltern show. And I've seen so many shows there. It's my favorite venue in LA. And I respect you for playing that because oh, the sound yeah. there is unreal.
It used to be mine too. When I was like a teenager and I first started going to concerts.
Like a year ago?
No. But no, honestly, I used to love the Wiltern and I would go there all the time. And it used to be my favorite venue because... I was like the teenager that would line up outside of the venue.
That's great.
And the Wiltern would always do that, and you go around the corner, and it was so fun. I saw like Ed Sheeran, Fun,
and
Imagine
wait,
Dragons.
Let's slow down yeah. there. I mean, you literally just said three of the biggest bands of this decade and acts. And what's crazy is obviously Fun's ginormous, mm-hmm. Imagine Dragons, like all them. Well, that's what I was going into or going under. Ed Sheeran played the Rose Bowl by himself with his guitar and lute pedals. By himself.
Wiltern. And the Palladium.
But the Palladium's awesome, and I saw yeah. Green Day at the Palladium, but literally by himself. Sans backup dancers, sans backup musicians. And what really got me to be impressed by Ed Sheeran, and then we're going to go back to Tyler, is he was at a Beatles show on television. He played In My Life by himself on the guitar, and I cried.
He's amazing. Yeah.
He's stupid good.
You've heard yeah. the Jamie Foxx story with him, right?
No.
Oh. The short version is...
No, make it long.
Well, Jamie Foxx would host LA parties really early on in his career, and he also always loved music, hence why he's an actor and musician and all kinds of things.
And he studied music
so
in college.
At his parties, he would invite all these young, unheard-of, up-and-coming people, and at a certain point in the night, he would bring them into his studio, which was also there, because they're partying sort of outside the studio. And... at one point, he brought Ed Sheeran up, and everyone there is basically before. This is before he's playing. Brings Ed Sheeran up, and everyone's kind of like, almost, I won't say booing, but they're very hesitant to the point where Jamie Foxx had to be like, "Yo, yo, yo, chill out. Watch what's about to happen.
Did he have a record out at the time, or was he was he signed at the time?
I don't know.
But he was definitely under the radar.
Music under the radar, okay. And that sort of was Jamie Foxx's thing. He did that with Kanye. He did that with so many.
Wait, who's Kanye?
A guy named Kanye Worst.
Oh shoot, he seems like he has a good attitude.
Hey, I'm a Kanye fan.
I'm a fan of his production skills.
Yeah. As you might guess, Ed Sheeran plays, and the place just loses it. And I mean, he's always had the reputation for being able to stand there with a guitar.
Well, he's a busker.
And shut the room down, you know?
He's a busker.
That's, as a musician like you and I, that's a dream.
I can tell you this right now, of, I guess, the current pop landscape. I'll talk about one other dude that impresses me like Ed Sheeran, and just to make this equal, one other female. Bruno Mars impresses the fuck out of me. Mm-hmm. And Ariana Grande impresses the fuck out of me. Those two are unparalleled right now.
Yeah. I actually think that pop music right now, mainstream music, is kind of some of the best that it's been in a long time. And I think I say that with full confidence. You can like different genres.
You should be able to.
It's more accepted now. But when you and I were coming up,
there's punk kids, there's metal kids, there's hip hop kids. Now, because of Spotify and ADDJ culture.
Yeah.
You listen to a Bieber song, then you literally listen to an Issue song.
Yeah, and you can like both, and kids are. And it's I okay. love that.
You guys are more open-minded than us, but you have much better. Worse attention span.
Yeah, well, what? I think, like, we, you know, there's just so much out there now that it's kind of hard to stick to one thing.
Is it You Fell Hard?
Wow. Speaking of that's so much, Lido Beach is out there, You Fell song. Hard. But, like, I went through... like my scene phase in middle school, but then I also had a huge One Direction phase when I was
One
like
Direction's
14.
Fucking awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's like two very different sides of the spectrum.
I get into obscure. Granted, I operate in the music world pretty heavily as a producer and a songwriter.
Which I would like artist. You to, after you say this, I would like sure. you to talk about that because honestly, that's the reason why you're here. Not because of Danger Kids, but because you're a really fucking talented songwriter and producer.
Thank you.
I mean that.
So to keep it short then, the One Direction was the biggest boy band in the world at their time. And when they broke up, a band called EXO became the biggest boy band in the world. It's a K-pop band. And I got to go see them front row. Speaking
Where?
Of, so at the Forum.
Okay. The newer Forum?
The Forum last year. So the new Forum. 17,400 capacity. They had no opening acts. They completely sold it out. It was their second time playing the U.S.
How long was their set? Like 2 hours?
2 hours. But it was... No. Incredible, man. So different than the shows that we are accustomed to in America. Like, they hang out with the crowd. Like, they'll do three songs.
Not paid meet and greets, right?
Right, yeah. Right. They'll do three songs, and then they'll break the fourth wall. And they have a translator there because no one speaks English in the whole group. And they hang out, and they sort of goof off with the crowd, and they bring people up. And it's way
it's
more
an experience.
Yeah, it's an experience. And I love that, and it opened my eyes to... Because my favorite parts as an artist are when the artist talks, you know?
When they show that they're human.
I used to go see Panic! At the Disco, and I'm actually going to see him again tonight. Go see
with Arizona?
Is that tonight?
My buddy who was on the show, Jake Posner. Yeah, Jake Posner, who's on the show, manages Arizona. Shout out to Jake. You're a really great guest.
Well, he'll probably be there tonight.
I have a feeling he will.
Yeah, Staples tonight is going to be
small
great.
Time.
And I got to play with Panic in Australia as well, so that was cool. And I got to meet...
Where Panic's smaller than Green Day. And now Panic is bigger than they've ever been, which is nuts.
He's the biggest he's ever been.
I know, and not in terms of size. He's actually really fit. But the thing is about Panic, and I'm going to one-up you here, I saw him at the Troubadour.
Oh, I'm jealous.
You should be. It was great. Cool. All right, so that was a fever I definitely sweat out. So the thing is, and I'm dripped in bile, so composing, creating, we literally have 11 minutes. Go fucking apeshit.
Sure. I think as music people... You and I are music people. We're not just songwriters. We're limited to the capacity of whatever music touches. So we become managers. We become songwriters. We become audio producers. Right. I chose the latter path. I started as a producer, and then I turned into someone who people would reach out to just to innocently write a song. And that came about from my over a decade of touring. You know, I've been signed... four times.
Let's give Danger Kids a little bit of a shout out because sure, I can tell you that that's where I became aware of you and that's how we met.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, this band on Rise like has some real strong Linkin Park influences. And at the time, everything on Rise was pretty much screamo.
Yeah.
So it was cool.
I had an epiphany at the end of my previous band, which was a band called Let's Get It. It was the Fearless Records band.
Shout out to Johnny Rago again.
I realized that that it's okay to be influenced. And in the past, I would be influenced by bands, and I would try to hide those influences. And then I took the opposite approach, where I was like, well, you know what? If I want to be influenced by this, that's what I sound
blatant.
Like. And if I want to... Yeah, I mean, the first song I wrote, I name-checked Linkin Park because I knew the
was
people
it called Paper
were
Cut?
Going to...
Sorry.
No.
Was it called One Step Closer?
I also name-checked Inner Party System in that because I wanted to wear my influences.
You hear my eyes?
Sleeve.
Oh, can I see the Inner Party... Unless it's in a vulgar place, the Inner Party System tattoo.
It's on my foot. I can show you...
I can show you the world.
Afterwards.
We might not have time for that.
That's okay. So I realized, you know, it's okay to be influenced. And the cool thing is Mike Shinoda actually in an interview shouted out Danger Kids saying the same thing where he said, you know what, I never said in an interview that, you know, Linkin Park was influenced by, you know, we got the glitch stuff from Aphex Twin was something he said. He's like, I never went on record and said that because when I was coming up, we just didn't talk about that stuff. And so I wanted to be part of the change. And so I tell people straight up, they're like, people ever tell you something like Linkin Park? I'm like, yeah, and thank you, because I literally grew up with that band, was influenced by that band, and as time goes on, I'm going to develop more and more a unique sound, and you just have to start somewhere. So stop apologizing for where you start.
Well, that's a metaphor and the moral of the story, and I just want to tell you my quick Linkin Park story that I have actually never said on the air, and it's very quick. And Emily, please time me so that it's literally a minute. Tell me when to start.
Okay,
let me
trust the iPhone.
Yeah, trust the iPhone because it actually doesn't lie.
Ready?
Time doesn't lie.
Go.
Okay, so can I start or I'm on? Oh, shit, awesome. Well, I just lost 10 seconds. So the City Drive, we were recording demos that got us a record deal. And the engineer in the studio was like, just so you know, like I worked on Hybrid Theory and everyone there thought it was dated. Because at the time, Limp Bizkit was fading. Rage Against the Machine wasn't cool anymore. We were wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
That was quick, right?
That was 25 seconds.
Awesome. So then for the other 35 seconds, I'm just going to say, I like applesauce, I like applesauce, I like applesauce, I like applesauce, I like applesauce.
What you touched on is as a creator, I think everything is easy. It's easy to look back and go, oh, of course Hybrid Theory was revolutionary. But even if you think that at the time, obviously a room full of people thought it was dated.
A room full of people in the industry, not just consumers, were just like, this is lame. That's what they said.
Decades later, now it's easy to look back. And as a creator, that's what I do. I produce and I write songs. The idea is the hard part. It's I know plenty of mix
engineers. The execution's easy.
Yeah. Well, I know plenty of mix
engineers. The executioners are easy. Aha.
Yeah, I know mix engineers that can make things sonically sound good, but a real producer will
arrange
create
it.
Little moments, you know? And that's what goes on to be timeless, like Hybrid Theory.
You can put Tapatio on a turd, it's still a turd.
Yeah. But I'm just saying,
I know what you're saying.
The idea is where is the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to look back and go, what a great idea, and then sort of copy it or whatever. But to be the first one with it is revolutionary.
I'd love to write a song with you.
We should.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I've never said that. I would. Anyway, but so can you tell us, and by us I mean the tens of gazillions of listeners, some of the projects that you really feel are close to home that you've worked on? Because we did mention Dead Girls Academy.
Sure.
But I guess highlight one.
Sure. I'm writing and working with I Prevail on their new album, and
they're Midwestern.
They're great. Yeah, they're from Michigan, and they
go blue.
I hope Brian doesn't hate me for telling the story, but we were the direct support band on their first headliner ever.
Mm-hmm.
And on the first day, Brian showed me that he had the Danger Kids pre-order hoodie. It's something we only made with the pre-order of our first album, and he asked me if I would sign it. And the whole time I'm signing it, I'm like,
we're opening
for you.
You
know, your band is crazy big, right? And you're blowing up. And I've seen bands explode, and I'm watching it happen. I don't know if he was aware of the trajectory, because now they're giant.
But that makes him innocent.
Right. Well, that chemistry is already there with us. So then we sit down and we write a song, and lo and behold, it comes out amazing. So we write another song, comes out amazing. And so I'm anticipating a really good thing with their new record. And I'm very close to Ronnie, and working on the Falling Universe stuff is coming out awesome. And also,
wait, can we go back to I Prevail for one quick second, which is the coolest thing I think about them, is that their last headlining tour, they took bands that aren't the new cool trending bands. They took bands like Escape the Fate out. They took The Word Alive, and there was one other. Who's the other one? I don't have it in front of me. But it was like it was three bands that are older and more established. I got
people were pissed about it.
People were pissed, but I wasn't. Yeah, which
that wasn't the Assuming We Survive.
No,
okay,
but that's cool that they did it. I mean, they were really and shout out to Mike Zemer and just
the poster in my head. I did their
music as well.
Oh, look at that! That was a sick transition. Well, they have some great songs. I want to look this up because I want this to be said on the air. But what really, really struck a chord, I guess, pun it, We Came as Romans, Michigan band.
Yeah.
To me, that was super fucking cool because they were at the point where no matter where they played, they'd sell it out. So they took out bands that really influenced them.
Oh, sure.
And
that's the type of people they are.
They seem like give backers.
Yeah. Well, I think they started. I hope I'm not wrong or offending
you. Might be. I think and you probably will offend someone. It's 2018.
At least a handful of them, like me, just like me, started as fans. Like, I'm in the industry, they're in the industry, but you can still be a fan of the band. You don't have to do the cool guy thing anymore. Like, just drop it.
Fuck the cool guy thing.
They never tried to be the cool guys that one up everyone. You know what I mean? They were always cool with people. So when the opportunity came,
look at the computer screen.
Yeah.
It's pretty badass, right?
It's killer, dude. Great dudes. And the tour went off without a hitch. It was huge.
And I can tell you, as someone who's literally. I can tell you, as someone who's literally seen every single band here live, and I Prevail gets a lot of shit, and I think it's so fucking lame. They are good dudes. They have great songs, and they appeal to a lot of people. And I can say this on record because I have been in the industry for a bit. And so 2017 Warped, they were the biggest band on the whole fucking tour.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you can hate it all you want.
But then you're helping them.
Yeah, it's a waste of energy.
It's so stupid. Like, why? Like, if you don't like a band, here's another thing. Just don't fucking listen to them.
Yeah.
That's it, because it's 1,000,000% subjective. Emily. Let's wrap this up. So can you let the tens of gazillions of listeners and I Prevail fans know what's next on the schedule?
What's next on the schedule is we have Wobby Funkel coming in next week. Or calling in.
No, but you corrected yourself, so thank you.
No problem.
In-studio interviews are so much fucking better. Thank you.
This is probably, I'm not knocking it because the interview hasn't happened yet. I'm sure it's going
to
be
It's going to suck. No, it's going to be fine.
It's going to be a good episode. So we have that coming up, and we're getting really close to 100, and I'm going to mention it every episode until we finally hit 100, because that is insane.
And shout out to April Marie Luovano, because she was an ardent City Drive and Lido Beach fan, still is, and the reason why Wobby Funkel's on the show is because he's a producer that is not as successful as the guy to my left, but he's a growing producer. And we want him to have a forum, and he's really talented, and that's what we try to do in Waldman's Words, is give people large and small, people larger than both Tyler and I combined, a voice, and people not. So I'm really happy that we're doing back-to-back producer episodes, and every single Tuesday, at what time? Do you remember what time? I'm curious. If you don't, it's okay.
It airs at 5, right?
Yeah, what time zone? You're killing Eastern? It. No, oh, almost.
Oh, I was wrong.
No, it's okay. You're still nice. 5 o'clock our time.
Okay.
Yeah. 8 p.m. Eastern. And then again on Sunday.
No, you're killing it.
And you could listen to it on iTunes and.
For free. Subscribe on the podcast app for free.
Or Adobe.com. It should be up. If you're listening today, Tuesday live, it will be up tomorrow, Wednesday at noon.
If you're listening to the rerun on Sunday, it should be up already.
Yes, unless I didn't do my job correctly.
For the record, you're the best fucking assistant on the planet, and I have been working in some form for myself or for other people, and I've never encountered someone as awesome as you, and you're 21 years old, and you're going to fucking destroy this industry and leave us in your dust. For the record, you've been an amazing guest. No, she will.
Yeah. I will be the
You've been an amazing. You will be the I Prevail of badass motherfuckers. So how can people get a hold of you and catch what you do?
There's a couple different ways. If you just want to reach out to me with general interest, like, just hit me up on social media. All my accounts are just my name, which is Tyler, TYLER SMYTH. It's Smith with a Y.
Smythe.
That's what they said at my graduation. But it is Smith. And
people called me Waldman.
Okay. I mean, it's an innocent mistake. I let it slide. But
you let it slide.
However, if you're an artist or you're a band and you want to talk more specific stuff, I actually run a Facebook group with my best friend Joey Sturgis, and it's
called, oh, that guy's small time.
It's called Last Band Standing. Oh, there you
Devil
go.
Wears fucking Prada, Midwest.
Yeah, he's from he lives in Michigan still, actually. And
go blue.
From Indiana.
Joey, you're a talented motherfucker, and I love what you're doing.
Yeah, he's the best. We run a Facebook group called Last Band Standing where we help emerging artists get to the next level. So and it's free, obviously. Just look at
it. It may not be obvious because there's so many people who try to make a quick buck, It's awesome that you do it for free.
Yeah, and we bring in guests. Actually, Brian on I Prevail is probably going to end up being the next guest, and we sort of connect.
You should interview Emily
with the people and try.
Not I Prevail yet.
Emily Prevail.
There's your MySpace name.
Oh my God! Yeah, go back to your top eight. Wait, did you have MySpace?
I did have a MySpace.
Thank you. Okay. Hey. Oh. Okay.
We're not that old yet.
I just hurt my shoulder giving Tyler a high five. So we're gonna end on that note. Tyler, thank you so much for coming out.
You got it.
Emily, final words.
Thank you.